had already been found at 1893, and here he was in South Wales after a full day's work at the furnaces in the nickel factory, going off to teach Irish classes for the Conrad after his certain day's work, which tells us that A, there was an interest in learning Irish, but it tells us that there was how many Irish people were in South Wales, who were interested in learning Irish, because the Conrad of Wales work and people wanting to learn Irish was huge 100 years ago. So here he was giving sense, but he was very active in his trade. Now he married not a Welsh girl, but a girl over the valley, up in the Nair, Eileen Cullinan, the father of the David Cullinan, and they married there and had three kids, and they were a neighbour also worked in the sort of nickel factory. There was now the family would go to Swansea Bay, to the seaside, like we would go to Tramore, to the Mumbles, or the popular spot, and right there he'd look out at the Irish Sea. And it must have been sitting on the bay there, looking out at the sea and thinking about his, you can nearly see water on a fine day, as they say, and where he wrote this famous song. Oh, he had written lots of other stuff, but this is one I've lingered, and one other great work called Three Generations and the Trig Gluina. Now this guy, relevant school, self-taught, he was good at 12. This was a literary work of noted merit, which is 112 pages long, 1,600 words, and it tells up the story in verse from 1840s, family times, right down to 1930, where his grandfather himself and his children, and the period, and that very turbulent period that he sort of lived through. He was walking away. Now there was a major strike. There was a major strike in the factory. Now he was blowing. He backed, because he was a very active trade unionist, and he backed the strike. And when the strike was resolved, he was told, bye-bye, we don't need you. Kind of thing, for supporting the strike, whatever life you have to a local man to give his job back. You Irish can go back home where you came from, sort of attitude. So he came back to Ireland. One other thing that that ties in with that period, that back in the build-up to the First World War, when the Irish Volunteers were formed, here he was, over in Clyda, doing his Irish classes, and he started a little local battalion of the Irish Volunteers. And they used to be going around the village in the small town there with brushes and shovels, out drilling and parading. He was very much never left home in that sense and followed the politics closely. So he lost his job with seven of his family, no income, and came back to Ireland in 1922. Not a happy place to come back to in the throes of the Civil War. They struggled for the next couple of years, and through the help of neighbours and family, they saw the way through it. But he always had his love of Irish and his scholarship of Irish, and he was offered the job. He was offered to go to training for the job teaching Irish, and then he was employed in Clostan or Rinne from about 1929 to 1945, when the hard work he had in the furnace factory, the smelting factory in Wales, caught up with him, and he died. He retired in 1945 to Ahab, and he died in 1947. Sort of two other quick things before I read the poem. I mentioned about his Trig Gluina poem first. As I said, it's 112 lines long, and we're not going to go into it, we'll be here on for the next week. But I have a very quick summary, which I'm going to read, of that part of it which affects our story. Two of his notable compositions relating to that time in Wales. The first is his masterpiece, Trig Gluina, three generations. A poetic record of some of the events of Irish history from the 1940s National Trust. The first part of the 112-page work, he tells 600 lines, deals with his own experiences in Wales and his return to Ireland. Here is a completely unexpected, fascinating eyewitness account of the experience of an Irish emigrant in the Swansea Valley in the early years of the 20th century. He describes the lone voyage, the first sounds of Welsh, the search for work, the almost lunar landscape of rapid development, the frenzy of the people caught up in the maelstrom, the Dante-like scenes in a coal mine, the noxious fumes that daily assailed the workers in the nickel factory, the work of the trade union, and the strike that resulted in his return home. The second composition, which is our poem, of note is his song Sliabh Galgúna Féile, a poem in a song that has and song that has become accepted as one of Ireland's great songs of exile and one of the classics of the language and in the repertoire of Shannon singing. Padraig, as I said, would often go down to the Mumbled and up across the sea, and it's on one such occasion he went home and prepared to pick. Been inspired by Donnacharua McNamara 200 years later, who had taught in Skeheen, they didn't meet, but who had written a famous poem called Bon Can You Hear of Noah, again about Waterford and the mountains,
yes,
from Newfoundland, yes, when he was over there with the fishing. And I'm sure Padraig was aware of that song and gave us the kind of that, and 100 years ago, updated version of Bon Can You Hear of Noah. He died in 1947. In 1977, it was the 100th anniversary of his birth. Now, this was a humble lad, self-taught, went off and worked, provided for his family, worked in the nickel factory, worked hard. As I said, one of the quiet heroes, these guys that just get on with it. Remarkable people, if you pass them in the street, you take no notice. There's no statues to it. No, he's one of these quiet people. But on the 100th anniversary, a committee got together, formed Eagsas Níobhua, and down to unveil a monument to him, this lad who had gone from Skeheen, now buried in Turanina. That's where the graveyard is, by not by of that man. Turanina, funny name, or an interesting name. The Tower of Wine, you know, where did the name come from? I wonder. I'm into place names. and so on. But at this unveiling, you had Callum O'Dolly, Walker on the Heron, Tomás O'Fee, the Cardinal of Ireland down from Armagh. You had a slew of eminent scholars, professors, literary people, big name poets, and other people of the day, down at the unveiling of this plaque, the Padraig O'Milley, who sort of went with a little bag, if he had a bag, out of that parish in the year 1903. And made his way to Wales. So here